Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Medicine Bundle. I appreciate you listening in, and I want to wish you all a good weekend and stay cool if you're in the Twin Cities, Minnesota area. It looks like we're going to have some extreme heat, so please stay hydrated and stay indoors and take care of one another. I'll see you next week. Gigawabamen.
I just found out I'm listening to Fresh Air Community Radio.
That's KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and online at kfai.org.
And you're listening too.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, in a little bit, we're going to have our friend Dr. Evan Adams on, and he's famous for doing a bumper on Native Roots Radio going, hey, Victor, you better be listening. Can't wait to talk to Dr. Evans and catch up with him and all the great work that he's done as a doctor. And of course, my favorite movie, Smoke Signals, and over 100, I think, other productions he's been involved in, but we'll quiz him on that. But I want to jump right away and have our friend Sean Sherman, the sous chef and award-winning chef, award-winning person, author, restaurateur, just really happy to have Sean on. And we just wanted to talk about how I got out and voted today, and boy, there was a lot of people out there voting, and yeah, the Sean's got his sticker too. Sean, let's just talk a little bit how important this election is and how happy we are to see so many people out there voting. Thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big day, and we just really are just backing Peggy Flanagan. She's a great friend. You know, I just really believe she's going to be an amazing ally in Washington for us. And so we need that Native voice and Native blood in D.C. To vie for all of us, you know. So it's a really important day to get her on that seat so she could be on the ticket in the upcoming midterms. And so I think everybody should get out to vote. I think everybody should help other people get out to vote. And if it's your first time voting, ask somebody. It's easy to figure out where your voting polls are and what you need to bring with you. But it's a big day, and I hope that we can all be celebrating Peggy's victory tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you have a couple things I want to touch base with you with is you have a new restaurant, you have a cookbook. I just wanted to let our people out there know an update about what's going on with you.
Yeah, we have a lot of things in motion, and Dihina by Wamini is up and going at the Guthrie Theater downtown Minneapolis. We've been keeping it pretty busy every single night. It's a big, fresh new. We've got that fresh restaurant smell going on right now, and we're really proud of it. It's a beautiful, beautiful space, you know, and we just have lots of irons in the fire and, you know, still working on a Native barbecue restaurant this winter and all sorts of projects moving forward.
Yeah, and I'm excited for what's coming up on the 30th at the fair, Indigenous Peoples Day, and it's great to see you and your organization leading that again. We missed it last year.
Yeah, it was. It's been really amazing to have that place and hold on to that space to bring Indigenous Peoples Day to the Minnesota State Fair, because there hasn't been a lot of Native representation there over the years. And so we worked really hard to find that location and to bring community together to host that and to hold that. And so it's going to be a fun day on August 30th to be able to really showcase. So we just need all of our Native allies and communities out there that day supporting us.
Absolutely. Hey, one of the things too, I talked to Gary Farmer, and they're going to be playing at the West End Market Monday and Tuesday, the day after Indigenous Peoples Day. So it's great to see him with a Sokola. We'll be jamming, and there's always so many people there sitting there watching it. So I was excited. I was telling him to come early, but he's playing a gig somewhere else on Indigenous Peoples Day. Hey, I got a question for you, Sean. Have you ever met Dr. Evan Adams?
No, he was in the restaurant before we moved to the newer one. So he was in the older restaurant just pretty recently. I know we got a book for him, and the team was excited to get some photos with him. You brought him in there, you know. So I unfortunately was out of town at that moment. So I have not, but I would love to, of course.
Well, hey, here he is. And I just want to say, Dr. Evan Adams, I appreciate you coming on. And I feel like really insignificant here. We have you and we have Sean on. And I just want to get you on. And I think it's really important, too. We got a lot to catch up on, Dr. Adams, about all your great work and everything. But I'm so happy you came on here, because it's kind of a thing where we want to, you know, remind people to vote. But we also want to be remind everyone that we're still human and we love doing things. So thank you for coming on. And have you, here's Sean Sherman, the owner of that restaurant we went to that everybody loved and wanted to get an autograph from you.
What a wonderful night that was. Thank you, Sean. What a beautiful place and a lovely memory.
Thanks. When you come back, we have a brand new spot just a couple of doors down. So come and check out the new space. It's much larger so we can feed more people.
Wow. I can't wait. I'll be there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're going to try and get him back up. He's got a documentary going on, and maybe in November again, we can get Dr. Adams up again. I'm stuttering, Sean, because again, I have two rock stars here. Do you have any questions for Dr. Adams before you go?
I'm just really excited to, you know, to see your work and, you know, the work around Native nutrition. And we're about ready to release a Native nutrition guide for people that kind of spans everywhere. So we can be in Canada, we can be in the U.S., we can be anywhere. So really excited about that project of just bringing more resources for eating healthy, connecting with our ancestry, and just looking at a brighter future for all of us.
Oh, and so needed for, I mean, not just for physical health, but for spiritual and emotional health. We love some of those foods. They really bring us a lot of memories and comfort and bring us peace.
Absolutely. So happy to share that anytime.
Great.
Right on. Well, again, Sean, just a quick thing before you go, how important this election is and how great it would be to see our friend, Lieutenant Governor, move on into the election. So really, Wendy and I got out to vote, and there was a lot of people out there voting. So it's pretty exciting to see that, because that's always good news for us progressives.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot of people going out there. There's a lot of energy behind Peggy, you know, and again, we need that Native voice in D.C. And she's going to be an amazing person to kind of help navigate through a lot of the challenges we have here in the U.S. And so whatever people can do to get out there and vote is just going to be really helpful right now, because we just want to see that victory party tomorrow for Peggy. And then we have another fight coming up, coming down the road for the midterms. So get out there and vote.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Sean. I know you're so busy, and I really appreciate you stopping in, meeting Dr. Evan Adams, but also talking about how the importance of voting. I really appreciate you stopping in.
Absolutely. Doksha, thanks for having me.
Hey, one more time about the restaurant and the cookbook.
Yeah, so Indihina is open. Indihina Biowamani is open at the Guthrie every day but Monday, so come on down. We're open lunch and dinner. And Turtle Island, the new cookbook that we wrote with Kristen Donnelly and Kate Nelson, is out there on the shelf, so order it. It's got, you know, looking at Mexico through Alaska, erasing colonial borders and bringing us all together as Indigenous peoples, and just barely scratching the surface of how much more work we have to do out there to bring Native foods everywhere.
Wow. Again, thank you, Sean, for stopping in and really talking about the importance of health, but also the great work you've done in the community. And I really appreciate you stopping in and talking about how important it is to vote today, and also saying hello to Dr. Adams. That was fun for me.
Awesome. Great to meet you. Thank you, guys.
All right. We'll see you. Wow. That was cool. Sean Sherman, one of the rock stars here in Minnesota, Dr. Adams. And we're really, really happy. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to catch up and see what you've been up to. There's been a lot of things happening. I know you have family members winning awards, so it's going to be fun to catch up. Yeah. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Oh,
elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come. We are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find, to those that turn away the so-called non-accepted, to those that bring us together, and to those living outside keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth,
to those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life, and those who exploit it, even our own.
To those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other.
To the outsiders who step in, good or bad, and those of us who don't know better.
To the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty.
To the young, the old, the living, and the dead,
to our brothers and sisters and all living things across Mother Earth,
and her beauty we've destroyed and denied the honor that the Creator has given each individual.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Bobby Wilson.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are with our friend, Dr. Evan Adams, and you may know him from the bumper music that we play that has Dr. Adams so graciously used, and we use that almost every day here on Native Roots Radio. And I know him as a great person and an actor of one of my favorite movies, Smoke Signals, but you've been a doctor for many years, I just checking in, how have you been and what have you been up to? Your son won a big award. Your buttons were bursting. Let's talk a little bit. Great to see you.
Hey, Robert, it's been way too long. Way too long.
Right on. Well, I appreciate you coming on. So what have you been up to? You were threatening to retire. Have you retired?
Yeah, I'm close to retiring. As you know, I've worked as an actor and as a doctor. And I became an actor as a way to avoid the responsibilities of my studies. like, I think any res kid, I was told, you have to get an education and help the people. And when I was a teenager, that seemed like a pretty heavy burden, and acting just seemed like so much fun. And you know, once I got my first role, I think I was 18 or something like that. Gosh, almost 40. Well, more than 40 years ago. And I had a wonderful time, but eventually, like after I did Smoke Signals, and it really was a joy to play Thomas, but I really knew that I wanted to give being a doctor a chance. I wanted to work with the people. And so, yeah, so my whole career has been like this weird balance between medicine and doing parts here and there, which I've always really, really loved. And it's time for me to, it's time for me to retire from, well, at least one of my doctor jobs, maybe more. Part of me wants to be maybe a little more creative going forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was excellent. And I have to comment on your humility. And I know Smoke Signals was only a short part of your life. And people here, when we did go to Owamni, were just ecstatic. When we were at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, people were just ecstatic, a rock star. And you were it surprised me how humble and surprised you seemed that people still hold a big flame for your character, which is so iconic. I can watch the movie right now and get teared up and laugh and do the same things I did from the original time I saw it. And one of the things, I think I told you this, I was on a Delta flight to New York and Smoke Signals was on the movie thing. And that really was cool to see.
Yeah. And that was recently, right? Like we shot that movie in 1997 and I can't believe it. You can still see it. I've heard a few airlines are still carrying it this many years later. And if you had told me when I was doing it that, well, first of all, that it would get noticed at all when it was first released. And then for it still to have an audience, you know, almost 30 years later, I would have said, no way, people aren't that interested in Indians. So it's not a bad thing to be remembered for. That's for sure.
Well, I reached out to Gary. Gary's coming in to Minnesota during this state fair, and they'll be playing. And I reached out to see if he wanted to jump on real quick and say hello. But he was playing. He was in a concert, and he wanted to say a big hello to you. And I know you two are still, all these years later, great friends. And so that was fun.
Yes. I love Gary so much. He has such a big heart, and we've been friends for a long time. And I just marveled when I was cast in Smoke Signals and watching him play Victor's dad. And it was actually frightening watching him work, his commitment, his ferocity. I was actually quite scared of him. And it wasn't until a little bit later, like about a year later, we did a comedy together, and he was, you know, he was the Gary that I knew. But yeah, on Smoke Signals, he scared me to death. And I think he has some real lived experience and some harsh truths that he brings to his performances and to his art. And I just have so much respect and admiration for him.
Well, he's done a lot of stuff, but one of the things in Smoke Signals too, the whole kind of vignette that he had about playing the Jesuit in basketball with him and Victor, that was like really iconic and almost award-winning kind of thing. So I know what you mean there.
Yeah, some of those scenes, because I did get to see Smoke Signals recently on the big screen. In my kind of like the city closest to where I grew up, Vancouver, Canada, they had the film version. I got to see it, and there was a Q&A with the audience, and I got to see some of those phenomenal scenes. Like when you're making a film, you're making these little pearls, these little scenes, hoping that, you know, they'll be good, and sometimes you hope that they'll be absolutely stunning. And if you're lucky, a few of the pearls in the necklace or a few of those scenes will be incredible. But Smoke Signals really does have some extraordinary stuff, including that basketball scene with Gary Farmer. And if you all can't remember it, definitely go back and see it. It is iconic, and Gary delivers just a near perfect performance.
I asked you this when you were in Minneapolis, and who were you channeling for your character in Smoke Signals, because the stories, the way you told them, and those were iconic to me, is when you were telling stories, whether it was about, you know, he was on the cover of Time and Life magazine, you know, and then the stories that you told, well, through the whole movie.
Well, I was very lucky. Well, I grew up at home, so I was around a lot of those elders and knowledge keepers and the storytellers. And then I was so lucky to get to go to a Native theater school where I was encouraged to not just do Romeo and Juliet and Shakespeare and English theater and American television style work, but to, you know, to tell stories in our way. So I actually had been wrestling with, you know, what makes a great Indian storyteller for a very long time. And there was a woman in my community. She actually eventually became my kind of like a mother-in-law, my sister's husband's mother. So she became like family. So I was remembering mm-hmm. how phenomenal she was. And she would take simple lines like, Mink was half in the boat and half out of the boat. And you could just see the image with how she described it. And I thought, how does she do that? Let me try and figure that out. And then I had this very oddball cousin named Sunny, who was really sweet natured, but a lot of people found him very peculiar. And I always found him just phenomenally interesting. And so I was thinking of him, and it was quite painful, difficult work playing Thomas. And in the end, I just had to play him like he was the most beautiful elder that you've ever met, an elder who would die for you because they just love you so much. That's how good and pure he was. So actually, I couldn't watch Smoke Signals for years, because the experience of playing Thomas, playing this beautiful elder versus how he looked in the film was very jarring, and I much preferred the reality that I had lived than what the camera captured. That's for sure.
Wow, that's really interesting. That's beautiful. I just loved when we went to Owamni, and how the kitchen staff was just so enamored and wanted to come out and get pictures with you. And of course, when we did the Minneapolis Institute of Art and had the showing of Smoke Signals, it was during a huge snowstorm, and people still came out, and it was just beautiful how they react to the movie and how they reacted to your character and how they react to you because of the character.
Yeah, I'm still surprised when anyone even recognizes me. And I'm actually always surprised when people say, oh, you're that actor. And I think, wow, I spend so many hours of my week being a doctor. And of course, being a doctor is really hard work, right? Like, I have way more people coming up to me saying, hey, I saw you in that movie, then they say, hey, you helped my family once as a doctor. And I'm still like, people still think of me as an actor and not as a doctor. It's kind of funny. Even other doctors say, oh, yeah, you're that actor guy.
Well, one of the things, Dr. Adams, I believe too, is that you've been in over, I think, wasn't it 80 productions, TV and film?
I've done a lot of work, and I may not be the best actor in the world, but I really feel like I had some, you know, a broad spectrum of experiences, and I really did my best because I love it. I love acting, and I don't know why. I've definitely had people say to me, "There's something weird about you that you like acting so much," and then I think, well, you know, considering what hobbies some other people have that are, maybe not so nice, or, people can have bad habits. So I think being an actor isn't bad. And I just can't deny it, that I just really, really love it. So even now, as I'm about to retire from being a doctor, my heart is saying, yay, I get to act more, and I get to do a bit more of this and that. And I'm not really kind of driven by any kind of desire to be a star or anything. If my friends are doing a film and they want me to play a little tiny role, I'll just do it because, you know, I love them and I want to support their vision. And, you know, it's also a lot of work being a lead. So being a supportive player is pretty cool. So anyway, I'm working on that a lot these days.
Well, hey, I know Ajawak was talking to me or talked to us over many times that he was so enamored and surprised that you were in his movie when you guys both were doing makeup, and he had the same reaction that many people, including me, have when we see and talk to you. Hey, we got another segment. Is that okay, Dr. Adams? We can do
that. Yeah, great.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa.
Maxing is in.
Hard maxing.
Soft maxing.
At KFAI, we've been maxing handcrafted radio since 1978.
Looks maxing.
Cooks maxing.
KFAI is the OG of community radio maxing.
Smell maxing.
Yell maxing.
KFAI is the handcrafted, music blasted, long lasted, genre contrasted, small but vested. KFAI more than just maxing. We're max maxing. Take that, commercial maxing.
Chrome. Legit.
Non-commercial, community-powered, max with two X's, radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and hey, we are here with our friend Dr. Evan Adams. Really just great to catch up and get a really cool insight about his past work and also where he's at getting close to retiring as a doctor. And Dr. Adams, one of the things I wanted to do is get our producer on, Misko, and she's a young woman warrior here that's producing Native Roots Radio now. And we always are looking for the next seven generations and the next leaders. And so I thought it'd be important for me to ask her to come on and join in and maybe ask a question or two. Misko, good to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Bonjour, Misko. Give me one indigenous cause. Hello, my name is Misko. I'm super excited and ecstatic to be here and have the opportunity to talk to Dr. Adams. He's been very influential, I'd say, Native media, as well as the rest of the cast. And I've gotten the opportunity to talk to Gary Farmer in the past, you know, over a similar platform. And so just, again, having this opportunity to speak to you and listen to you speak is like, it's amazing for me.
Well, I'm so happy to meet you. You're so young. I probably shouldn't put it that way, but you're so young to be doing this work, and it makes me so happy. I hope you have a big, long career doing this kind of work, and you're so very welcome.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I was just enjoying hearing how you got started in your teens, and that's when I got into media. Or, you know, Robert was my teacher in video production all throughout my high school years, and then I worked with him through an art store, and then now I work doing production, and I'm hoping to progress. I really love being behind the camera and producing, but, you know, I'm not shy to come on the screen. But I guess one question that I have for young Indigenous people who are interested in medicine, acting, writing, or other creative careers, what advice would you give them?
Oh, gosh. I feel like if that's the thing that you love, then you absolutely must go there. I'm surprised how shy some people are to chase their dreams. For me, it was really quite natural. It's like, well, I have an interest there. Like, let me spend some time there. And even if I find out that I'm terrible at it, and I'm terrible at a lot of things. So I've tried a lot of things that I had really no talent for. And then you find out some things you have an ease with, and you absolutely have no idea why, or some that you just love. You just, it just is no work at all to do that kind of stuff. So, I feel like, you know, listen to your inner voice, or, you know, your inner spirit, or that drive, that spirit within you, whatever is moving you, you have to really kind of listen and hear it. And I think that's really a natural part of kind of growth, is to hear, you know, what's going on inside of me? What do I really, really like? And it's going to be so different for every person. Anyway, I'm so glad you're doing this. And because there aren't that many of us in media arts. I wish there were more of us. I have six kids, and I wish more of them had pursued media arts, because it's all like extraordinary learning.
Yes, I agree. And I guess my next question, kind of related to what you brought up, is what gives you hope right now when you look at the future of Indigenous communities and the next generation?
Yeah, the world is changing, isn't it? It's different than when I was growing up. I can't believe how much racism and sexism and homophobia that I grew up with. It's a lot better now, in part because there are so many really great young people like you whose eyes and ears and hearts are open. It's just a better time. So that gives me hope. I recently, and I'm actually calling in from Hawaii, because I work in Hawaii a lot with Native Hawaiian physicians. And so I'm a guest in their beautiful territories. And I've been learning a lot about being a good ally. I guess I used to know something about being an ally. I grew up with four sisters. So, you know, being a feminist meant that, you know, I could cheer them on, but I didn't quite know how to do that really, really well. Well, I'm here now in their beautiful territory as an uninvited guest. One or two of them might say, no, you're an invited guest, but I'm here working, and I'm learning to see the ally in me. Like I can be supportive, play a supportive role, and be good and kind. And watching them and their mentorship, like some of my friends here, they teach Native Hawaiian physicians. I just adore that aloha that they bring. And I guess too, I'm learning not just to be a good ally, but to be a better mentor. I do know that it takes a lot to create a strong, skilled, experienced person. Like, it takes a lot of teachers, and I should definitely be doing my part. So Robert, I'm glad that you're mentoring Misko and helping move things along, and doing your part, because I'm sure you had some great mentors and teachers too.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I did do is I went back when I became a teacher, I went back and talked to former teachers I looked up to. And for nothing more than just saying you'll be great, and hearing that from people that I admire was meant the world to me.
Yeah, I had a really strong father, and he was constantly talking at me about how to be a strong person, an honest person, to stick up for myself and for others, to be brave with what I say, to be disciplined. And he probably put that spark in me about, yeah, how do you help people get to a better place? And certainly as a doctor, I mean, we do diagnosis and treatment, but a lot of what we do is we cheer people on in their journeys, tell them, you know, everything's going to be fine. I know this is not the news that you expected, but we're going to get through this.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, what are the parallels of being a doctor and an actor? Help me out here, because, I mean, as an actor, you're feeling feelings and reacting to them and bringing them out through a character. As a doctor, are you building empathy to talk to people about what's going on with them? How do you feel like the parallels are for your career and who you are now?
Sure. Well, I got a couple of things. I think I'm very sensitive, which helps me as an actor, but it helps me be empathetic as a doctor and not be harsh and to be, you know, kind to people. Often I see people at their worst, right? When they're having a really, really painful, difficult time. I think it's partly being able to walk with someone and to really see them. I've heard from patients that, you know, they don't care how smart I am. They want to see that I see them, that I can be sympathetic. I remember I had a patient with cancer and I said, okay, let's talk about your care plan. And she said, no, I want to speak to my sister. And I said, well, okay, but you know, that can wait. And that's not really my job. Yeah. My job is, you know, your cancer care. And she insisted. And I said, okay, that's what's important to you. And so that's what's important to me. And of course, I think Indians all over Turtle Island are very sophisticated. They have many wants and needs. They're on a journey. They see many realities at once. And so, yeah, of course she was concerned about her care, but she's also concerned about her sister, and she was concerned about her kids. And, you know, all of that kind of sophistication, I think that's part of how I grew up around people. I saw people when I was a kid on the res in the middle of their pregnancies and their family dramas and their health issues, and good things would happen to them and bad things would happen to them. And I would be there just close by being part of that. So anyway, I feel like as a doctor, it's very natural for me to hear from patients and say, yeah, let's find you some help.
Wow. Yeah. It's amazing. And Wendy was a HIV pharmacist at the U of M, and there was many times that she had to sit in and talk to people about that were just finding out that they had HIV, and it was a hard place to be. But you know, have empathy and just, you know, say that things are going to be okay really help out. And I have a quick story that, you know, a lot of our relatives don't trust doctors too. And she was when she would talk to Native Americans that just found out that they were HIV positive, she would ask them what tribe they are, what reservation, and knock these walls down, because she's white, and knock these walls down by one brick at a time and say, well, my husband's Ho-Chunk. And then they would, you know, lighten up and talk to her. And so that always warmed my heart when I heard that story from Wendy.
Yeah, I remember the 80s, and it was a really tough time. Oh. But I really related to those patients, because you know, I had a maternal grandfather and a paternal grandmother who died from TB, an infectious disease. And of course, infectious diseases ravaged our peoples. It's part of our history, and it wasn't too long ago. There have been, you know, waves of infections like smallpox and TB and HIV that have really changed our lives. So it seemed pretty natural for me in the 80s to try and listen to people when so many others were just so mean about it. I wish, so how do I then, as a mentor, explain that to younger people who weren't there? Probably Misko, because you have the same, you know, history as Robert and I, like, you know Indian history in the Americas. It's probably much easier for you to hear those stories. But how do I teach that to a young medical learner? I remember that infectious disease, that plague, and infectious.
Yeah. Hey, we got one more segment. Do you mind hanging out with us for another segment, Dr. Adams?
Great.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wah.
Hi, it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! Oh!
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. We are here with Dr. Evan Adams and our producer, Misko. And we're just finishing this up. I just want to let everybody know, too, that tonight on AM 950, and that's the station in the Twin Cities, and I know Civic Media, you'll be doing your own thing on the election. They're going to have a coverage tonight with Matt McNeil and John Parker starting at 8. There will be election updates during the commercial breaks of the evening shows, too. So really important here. I just got to give a quick shout out to our lieutenant governor one more time, Peggy Flanagan. Go get them. And the polls are open till 8, so you still have time to go out and vote. Hey, again, I just want to say a big peeny geegy thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. I think sometimes we have to take we have to think about other things and the bad things that are happening and stuff. So it's really, really important that we're coming. We're talking about a lot of fun things and what you've been doing, Dr. Adams. And of course we, you know, Misko and I are enamored with you. We're like, oh, smoke signals, but you've done so much more and you are a doctor and you've helped so many, many more people. And you've helped many people with your art as an actor too. So again, thank you so much for coming on.
I thank you so much.
Yeah.
I find it funny that sometimes when I'm at work, people will say, oh, you're that guy. You're that guy. What are you doing here? And I have to explain, well, actually, I'm a doctor now. And yeah, let's talk about you. In fact, once I had a Native man who had been stabbed and he survived. He was fine. Mm-hmm. But his daughters were there and they were like trying to get selfies with me while I was helping their dad. And I had to say, you need to stop this and you need to get out of the way so that I can help your dad. That was so bizarre. That was such a strange.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. So Misko, do you got any more questions? Because, you know, again, I really like to engage her because someday I'll be moving on and there's young ones that have to take on the next, you know, the next thing for the next generation. So it's always, I just want to engage her.
Yeah. Once again, Chimi Gwich, thank you, Dr. Evan Adams, for joining us today. Not only have you paved the way for young Indigenous people and Indigenous people in general to use their voices, but you've also navigated what it's like to become a doctor and being a physician. And I guess my last question is more health related. So what is maybe a message that you want to give to Native people about wellness and what does wellness look like to you, whether that be spiritual, physical?
Yes, wellness has many, many dimensions, and it's actually quite a lot of maintenance work. It's like keeping your temple, keeping your house in order, and it does require some discipline. So things like, because in our way, we were careful about how much we ate. We were, like, I was literally taught when I was small to not eat more than the size of my hand. And we were taught to exercise. And even when, you know, my teachers would be like, you're 11 years old, your dad makes you go for a run. It's like, yeah, don't all dads make their sons go for a run? My dad would make me swim in the cold water. He knew that would make me stronger. And white people are like, oh, cold water, that's going to make your heart stop. And I'd say, no, my heart hasn't stopped yet. So we were taught definitely how to be well. In our bodies, but we were also taught to be well in our hearts and our minds. Be careful what you think, be careful what you say, you know, be kind, be humble, be respectful, you know, bring good things with you. Don't be ugly. And I can't believe how many times I have to say that to people, don't be ugly. And yeah, because I thought it was just a lesson that we all knew. But I catch myself thinking and saying ugly things. And I think that it's a sign that my health is under strain. And I think the most difficult lesson for me was to be well spiritually, that I was actually on a spiritual journey. I wasn't just a busy worker or a busy dad with 1,000 things to do, that I needed to do good things with myself. And that's been absolutely the hardest lesson. And I think my emotional health, I think all of our emotional health is constant work, because it's so surprising, right? Because I think our emotional health so often doesn't involve our brain. And so I have to listen to the elders. One of my favorite bits of advice from a mentor here in Hawaii was to know the birds I hear in the morning. And that has been such great advice, to be present. And how can I live in a place with these beautiful birds and their bird song and not know their names, or not stop and hear them when they're playing? So I think that wellness is constant attention, constant rigor and discipline. And just go for it. It when you have your health, it is the most wonderful thing. And now at my, I'm almost 60, I've never felt better.
Wow, great question, Misko, really, and a great answer. We got just a couple minutes left, Doctor. We're here with Dr. Evan Adams, what's up next for you? Do you have anything happening acting-wise that's coming up that you want to bring up? Or is there any anniversaries? Yeah. I know there's some movies that you've done in the past. There's big anniversaries coming up.
Well, I don't know why we celebrate Smoke Signal's anniversary every year.
4th of July.
We shot it in 1997, and it came out in 1998. So we'll have some big anniversaries in the next year or two. And I just did a movie with Jennifer Beals called Survivors, which was kind of a crime drama. I just got a call this morning. Evan, are you interested in a horror movie? I've done one horror movie once, and it was kind of fun. So part of me was thinking, yeah, maybe it's time to do a horror movie. I did do a documentary recently that's been doing the film festival circuit, called Namesake, about changing place names in the Americas back to traditional place names. Mm-hmm. And last of all, I have a new movie called How We Stand, that will be opening at the Toronto International Film Festival. And TIFF is one of the biggest film festivals in the world. So I'm pretty excited for that to come out. So yeah, I'm still working as an actor a bit. And I look forward to, all the other stuff in my private life, like retiring from physicianhood and watching my kids, all 6 of them, doing their work. I have one who's a choreographer and one who's a singer/engineer. I still have my mom, and I still love my culture and where I live. So all of those are wonderful things that I'm all getting to. And I wish all of you that, a really wide breadth of experiences, for sure.
Well, I just have to say a big peenie geeky. Thank you so much for being on. And these are times that we need to have a nice conversation about the past, present, and the future and health. And I really am so happy on this kind of stressful day here in the United States with all these primaries going on, that we were able to talk and have fun and reminisce and talk about the future and talk about health. I am just so happy that you were able to come on tonight.
Well, you've been so kind, Robert. Thanks for staying connected to me, because I think that's very, very human and very good of you, because it's easy for us all to be rushing around and not minding each other. And you've always been such a good friend.
Wow. So, what great words. And hopefully we'll see you here in Minneapolis when in November, and get you back up here for some anniversary movies or maybe your documentary. But we'll keep talking.
Yay. Yes, let's do it.
All right. Thank you. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, and join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. See you tomorrow.
They say all good things must come to an end, but at Cafe I, we believe otherwise. Your vehicle, once a source of countless memories and adventures, can continue to create positive change long after its last drive. By donating your car, truck, boat, or RV to Cafe I, you give it a new purpose and support the programming you love. To learn more about how you can extend the contribution of your vehicle's influence, call 855-277-2346 or visit kfai.careasy.org.
Hi, I'm Tiergan.
And I'm Hadley.
We're two of the very first listeners, and we're
still listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. This is Robert Pilot, and we are here with our friend Misko, the producer of Native Roots Radio. What a great show, Misko. Always great to hear from the lieutenant or the state senator, Mary Kunish. Almost gave her a, I don't know if it's a raise or not, but always great information. And hey, now we're in our special, our Friday edition of Young Warrior Woman's Update. So take it away, Misko. Ho-wa.
Buju kakena awia. It's good to talk to everyone here today. My name is Misko Gimiwan, which means red rain. Misko for short. Super glad to be here and use my voice. I like to say that I'm still learning about, you know, the political landscape, you know, news, native news that are happening right now, and, you know, where to find news. Super grateful to be working here with Native Roots Radio and The Circle. We have a lot of great information coming out that I'm hearing about. And again, it's always important to hear from our Native women representatives and our Native women, like political consultant, such as Arvina. I really love having her on the show and just hearing their thoughts on things and why it's important to me and why it's important to anybody, because as you always say, Native news is for everybody. Yeah. I blanked out on your saying, but truly it is super important to learn about all these things, about things that are happening and laws, things that we need to be aware of when voting. So thank you, Mary, for, you know, raising awareness about the constitutional amendment that will be on our Minnesota ballots next Tuesday. And so I'm hoping to spread more awareness about this, you know, on social media, because that is where a lot of people my age get their information. And so I've been really trying to push our social medias, our Facebooks, Instagrams, TikToks, all that, you know, short form and quick media, just so that it's at our fingertips. You know, almost everyone has a phone nowadays, and almost everyone is on their computer. And so we have access to news sources, whether it's on the radio, online. And so again, check out The Circle News. We will be posting something about that. If you want to share it with your friends, it'll also be on the social medias. If you want to share it, spread the word out, put it on your stories. You know, the young people in your families will see that, and they're going to be like, hey, that looks like something interesting that I need to learn about. And you're doing your part by educating those around you. And again, as we always say, encourage your family, friends, and relatives to vote. Help them out. If you haven't voted early, make sure on the day of your voting, and you're also helping your friends and relatives know about what's on the ballots, and helping them get there if need a ride or anything.
Yeah, great news. And yeah, talk a little bit more. I didn't know we were going to talk about this, but you put social media out for Native Roots Radio and The Circle Magazine. Articles, daily articles are being put up on The Circle, and then daily information about Native Roots Radio is on the Native Roots Radio end. It's been great to see that. The Circle's been around since 1980. There's over 10,000 views a month on the Circle website. So it's really a great place, and it's going to be a really good place for daily news, native news, and a place to go to.
Yes, I just want to give flowers to every, writer and the chief editor, who's working on the magazine. I just want to reiterate, there will be a magazine out at the State Fair this year, so make sure you come check us out. We'll also be doing the show there. I just want to emphasize that Native Roots Radio and The Circle are two separate entities. But we were running the same circles. We all report on Native news. And so if you're finding things here on Native Roots Radio valuable, make sure you check out The Circle News, because they have more writers and more people reporting on what's happening. And it's just another good resource to have, as well as the quarterly magazines and the special edition magazines. You get to learn about culture, arts, news, and this is great resources for anyone who's interested. And again, it affects everybody, the things we talk about, and it gives you a new perspective on how to view the world.
You know, it's funny too, Misko, there's I don't want to say a lot of ads, but there's a lot of support for the Circle magazine, and those ads that are in the Circle magazine are very informative to the community. They're telling, they're not like, buy this used car. It's talking about things that are very helpful to the community. So we're really, really blessed as people to have the Circle magazine and have the community sponsor it in such a good way. I just wanted to say that, because it's funny, the ads are for our people and talking about all these great things that are happening.
Right. And when you think about magazine, like when I think about a magazine, I'm thinking about dresses, those scratch and sniff perfumes, and then you're being sold Tide Pods. But for the Circles magazine, it's beautiful. There's a front and back cover. The front cover is, I believe, is Lakota design, and the back cover is Ojibwe design. And It's such a beautiful magazine. And I try to find time to read, and so whenever I have any downtime, I just pull out the magazine, I read an article, maybe I'll get halfway through it, and it just really inspires me to hear the words that people are writing and saying. And I don't know, super inspiring. It really got me interested in wanting to learn how to write, learn how to report on news, and just bring awareness to what's happening nowadays. We're a modern people. We have a magazine, we have websites, and I just want to encourage everyone to go check those out. And again, the ads are for resources in the community. It's about well-briety. It's about positive things happening that you can be a part of. They're not trying to sell you anything. They're just saying, hey, this is a free thing that you can, there's an event, there's access to resources. And so just check that out. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, it's so true. And I kind of just thought about that, Misko, because I'm a part of it as like you said, the chief editor without a headdress. The people that are supporting the magazine are doing it because they want to get the word out to all these great services that are out there. It's amazing, from indigenous, the health place out there on Franklin Avenue, and just, places like that.
Yeah, and especially with all these new, renovations happening, new buildings being created for spaces for Native people. I'm just super excited. Things that I'm talking about recently, the Minneapolis American Indian Center had a renovation. Oh, IHB is getting a new community wellness building. NACD is getting, a building being created. And it's by, is it by a Native architect, I believe?
Yes, Sam? Both of them.
So all these amazing things are happening, and these are things that are being reported on through the news, through, the Circle, on social medias. And if you think it's interesting, maybe your friends and family would think it's interesting, as well as there's resources out there for you. So they're not just buildings being built. These are spaces for people and for you to access. And I don't know, just really want to emphasize that and, give them their flowers for everything that they're doing.
Yeah, let me add to that too, that the places that you talked about that are being renovated, they're going to be really indigenized. There's Native art, there's Native artists, there's teepees, there's things that that make Native people feel at home, and it's beautiful art.
Yes, and you know, our native doctor that we have on here, Dr. Anthony Stately, he's always amazing. I love when he comes and talks about what's happening in the building, what pieces of art means to him, and the expansion. And so, I don't know, just super excited for all the things that are happening in Native community.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's